Psalms 134, a song of ascents. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth.
Well, thanks for reading, Josh. Great to see you. And that psalm that Josh read for us is the last in the Songs of Ascent, the group of psalms that we've been looking at this summer. We've been on this journey, the Bible's songs for the road, if you like, a kind of soundtrack for the Christian life, for God's people on their way home. And these last few weeks have all focused on the end destination, home at last. I hope they've helped you to feel excited about our future as Christians. And as the very last song then in this group of 15 psalms, maybe you'd expect this one to be the most exciting, the climax, the final word on the final destination. And there are all sorts of reasons by this point that you might be looking forward to getting home. The journey has been tough. There have been persecutions, opposition, lies, not to mention the problem of our own sin and our need for mercy. Add to that all of your present circumstances, whatever they might be, joblessness, a recession, financial problems, physical sickness, and maybe grief. Who wouldn't want a world where all of those things had been dealt with? And yet these psalms have never primarily been about just a location that we were journeying towards. They were always really about the God that we were coming home to. And here at the climax of the Songs of Ascents, the moment of arrival, the grand finale song, is all about the Lord. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, bless the Lord, may the Lord bless you. Five times in three verses, the Lord's name is mentioned, Yahweh, the God who rescued and revealed himself to his people, the God who made promises to David, the God whose steadfast covenant love endures forever. In fact, if you look at the original language, the Lord, Yahweh, is one-fifth of all the words in the psalm. There's just no missing it. God is the climax of our story. Coming home to him is the defining mark of our final destination. And that makes him the end goal of life, that the purpose of going on this journey is to bless the Lord. And I wonder how happy you are with that as the eternal finale of your life. You want the ending to be the climax of the experience, don't you? So the destination needs to be worth the journey, especially if you've put in a lot of effort to get there. This year's FA Cup final was unsurprisingly suspended, like many other things, because of COVID-19. And so the final eventually happened months later than usual, and all behind closed doors, with fans watching at home instead of in the stadium, and with the option of turning on fake crowd noises if you wanted to make it a more enjoyable experience. The BBC Sport write-up said, "This was a game that deserved to be played out before a full house, not 90,000 empty red seats. It had a winning goal that deserved the glorious roar of appreciation reserved for such match-winning moments." I thought that was quite an honest comment about the kind of bittersweet of being able to finish the tournament, but a final that just deserved more. Do you ever wonder if heaven will be a little bit like that? A journey that started out exciting, but when you got to the end, there weren't as many people there as you thought there should be. It was a bit anticlimactic, a bit lacking in atmosphere. Maybe that illustration doesn't work for you. These are songs, of course, so maybe a better comparison is a concert or a musical. We've had some highs and lows along the way, but you want the finale to be the climax, the song everyone goes out singing, that they can't get out of their head, that they don't want to get out of their heads. You need to end on a big number. Remember our theme verse, the picture at the very end of the Bible? Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them joined together in this chant of eternity. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. I wonder how endless singing fits with your idea of heaven. Does it sound too much like sitting on a cloud playing the harp? A bit boring, a bit anticlimactic. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. I think we're quite clear as a church family on the physicality of heaven. It will be a whole new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, a physical resurrection of the dead to glorious transformed bodies. It will be a place without tears or pain or injustice or sin. But I hope we are as clear that the thing that makes the new creation good is that we are with our God. That there is, in fact, no such thing as eternal life, except that which flows from a relationship with him. And he's been called several times in these Psalms, the maker of the heavens and earth. Of course, our great joy on arrival will be to be with him, to behold him. And we will sing forever, bless the Lord. We'll never run out of reasons why. Verses 1 and 2, call to all the servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. It's a temple service, the pilgrims walking to Jerusalem. They've arrived at the end of their long journey, and at last they get to go to the 5 p.m. service in the temple to encounter their God. Lift up your hands to the holy place, the sanctuary, the holy of holies, where the Holy One dwells with his people. I wonder if you remember a couple of Psalms back, and the Holy One said, "This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. There are now loads of accounts of people who say that they've seen heaven. People who have had what they describe as near-death experiences. I went to heaven and back. And the details obviously vary in each account, but there are some general patterns which are often the same. A beautiful, otherworldly realm, seeing loved ones again, meeting spiritual beings or angels, a loving presence, and the voice of someone who might be God. It's worth saying it's probably unhelpful to base any of your confidence on those testimonies. And particularly because I don't think I've ever heard one that sounded like Psalm 134. Nor for that matter, the many other parts of Scripture that give us a picture of heaven, emphasizing the people of God singing unending praise to the Lord. If anything, the visions of heaven people say they've had. Well, God often sounds suspiciously distant or vague or even of minor significance once you get there. That is not the end of our journey. The climax of life will be to spend eternity raising our hands to bless the Lord. And maybe you struggle to feel excited about that. Maybe you already think that your relationship with God kind of takes up too much of your time already. You wanted heaven to be like an endless holiday by the sea, or endless time to pursue your favorite hobbies. Joining the church choir wasn't quite what you had in mind. And to some extent, that's fair enough. We probably carry over some bad experiences of church choirs. Mark has done incredibly well to keep us singing during lockdown. But even so, maybe you found singing along to the TV in your living room slightly cringy, like Anne and James. Or even worse, I suppose, sitting in the building, not allowed to join in. Rest assured that the symphony of heaven will be infinitely better than anything we at Euston Church have or will ever be able to produce, even when we're back to a full band and no face masks. And bless the Lord is a very Christian phrase. Maybe that doesn't help us to be excited about it either. When the Lord blesses people in the Bible, well, they're often strengthened or somehow made to prosper. Obviously, that's not the same way that we bless the Lord. How could we? A few weeks ago, Kev mentioned these verses from the New Testament, where it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." God doesn't need us. It's not like his power and existence is dependent on our service, our praise, to somehow sustain him. In fact, the exact opposite. The only reason we have breath to bless the Lord or strength to lift an arm to praise him is because God has given us that strength. And yet verse 1 of our psalm does say, "Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord." Are we servants, or is God not served by human hands? Do we bless him, or does he bless us? Well, this summer we've seen that God is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He's where our help comes from. He's our keeper. He's the only one who builds the house. And repeatedly, it's only those who fear him, only his people, who can be blessed. The Lord is always the inexhaustible blesser. He's the blessing giver. So to bless the Lord is to proclaim God's own blessedness as the source and fullness of all blessing. John Piper suggests the analogy of exalting the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we've made God bigger, propped him up, lifted him. It's just a proper recognition and expression of God's exalted status. So he says, to bless God means to recognize his great richness, strength, and gracious bounty, and to express our gratitude and delight in seeing and experiencing it. Bless the Lord. And we can only serve God, of course, because he has supplied the strength and the sight and the transformative grace to do so. Even as servants, we are the recipients of God's blessing. And you can see that's where our psalm goes as well. Say verse 2, "Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." Integral to the summons to bless the Lord forever is our identity as his forever blessed people. And interestingly, unlike the obviously corporate worship happening in verses 1 and 2, the you in verse 3 is actually singular. It's your personal story. And maybe it starts to make sense of why this is the climax of our lives, not to be the hero of your own story, but as a recipient of God's overwhelming blessing, to worship him together with all the other recipients of God's blessing, to bless and serve the Lord together, is to testify to his abundant blessing and service of each one of us individually. And I think perhaps the main reason we're in danger of being underwhelmed or unmotivated by this picture of the future is that we just run out very quickly of reasons to bless the Lord. Hopefully from the Songs of Ascents so far, you can see that that must be a problem with us, not a deficiency in our God. Whether by presumption or ungratefulness or forgetfulness or just outright disrespect, if we run out of things to bless God for, well, there's something lacking at our end. The psalm calls us to lift up our hands to bless the Lord. Quite tiring to spend eternity with your arms raised. I wonder when the arms would start to ache. But I think I'm worried that my arms would drop, I'd put them down, not because I was too tired to keep going, but because I've just run out of things to say. I was even a little concerned to preach on this psalm. Could I really drag out these three verses for 20 minutes? Well, one remedy for us is to read back through the Songs of Ascents, reminding ourselves of reasons we have to bless the Lord. We're going to do that in just a moment together. Remember the help he has given his people in distress, time and time again. The fact that we're even still going on the journey is down to him. It's not well done us. It's thank you, Lord. There's plenty of fuel from the last 14 weeks to get us going. And add in whatever else you might have been reading in your personal devotional times as well. There'll always be reasons there to bless the Lord. His righteousness, his forgiveness, his commitment to his promises. But you could also read on in the Psalms as well. Even though Psalm 134 is the end of the Songs of Ascents, it's not the last psalm in the book. And lots of people have noticed the connection between this psalm and the two that follow immediately after. Psalm 135 opens in almost exactly the same way. Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord. It's another call to praise because the Lord is good, in particular because he is above the man-made fake other gods that we might be tempted to worship. And even more specifically, he is unique, utterly unique, in his ability and commitment to rescue his people. All the servants of the Lord are encouraged to sing again the story of God's people being rescued and brought into the promised land. Verse 13 says, "Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants." God's track record as a rescuer fuels their confidence that he will do it again and bring them home. Read on into Psalm 136 and you'll find almost the same psalm again. But this time every line is interrupted with the outburst of people blessing the Lord. For his steadfast love endures forever. For his steadfast love endures forever. For his steadfast love endures forever. It just can't be contained. They're like appropriate hecklers throughout the psalm. For his steadfast love endures forever. I think it would be suitable to read it as a crescendo, as God's people declare it over and over again, louder and louder, every line adding to their reasons to bless the Lord. The steadfast love of God that endures forever means that we will sing forever, bless the Lord. You will not be excited by heaven if you are not first and foremost excited by our God. So can I encourage you to do that exercise, to read back and find some reasons. The Lord He made heaven and earth. Bless the Lord. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Bless the Lord. He is enthroned in the heavens. Bless the Lord. He's on our side. Bless the Lord. He has not given us as prey to the teeth of our enemies. Bless the Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, he surrounds his people. Bless the Lord. He has done great things for us. Bless the Lord. The Lord is righteous. Bless the Lord. But with him there is forgiveness. Bless the Lord. With him there is steadfast love and plentiful redemption. Bless the Lord. He's given us a king, as he promised David. Bless the Lord. He's commanded blessing on his people, life forevermore. Come, bless the Lord. Let's pray.